report?
Sure.
Got a
item number 12.
Yeah, that's an informational report. And let's see, Harvey's here. Harvey Packard's here, oversees the enforcement unit. So we've indicated the notices of violation that we've issued on the first page, and then we have the listing per usual on the next pages. I don't, as far as the last comment on the Santa Barbara
spills, 50 spills or so.
Well, actually, I guess I need a point of clarification there. On the 50 spills in 2 years, are you talking about City of Santa Barbara or County of Santa Barbara?
City.
Oh, that was City. Okay. Anyway, on a statewide basis, we've had some discussions about spills and that it would make sense to break those out in terms of private lateral spills versus actual public agency facility spills, which would help with figuring out what's the best method for trying to reduce those spills. Because if they're private spills, then that implies that something needs to be done by the private entities. And that's something that actually Santa Barbara wrestled with the lateral cleaning initiative, and I guess that was kind of watered down as far as the way it turned out. But if that's a significant problem, then that's the kind of thing that would make sense for a local agency to pursue. If that isn't so much of a problem and they're having more spills from, say, their pump stations, then that's a completely different fix. So I think that's part of the answer to the spills, is to try to break out the data and figure out where they're coming from and then refine the solutions for that. So I kind of went back to the public comments there for a second, but certainly we have some spills on our enforcement report. And are there any questions on any of these items that are listed in here?
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
First question, this report includes spills that occurred only in June, only for the month of June, or is it... That's all that occurred in a quarter. Or what's this? What time period are we looking at here?
It should be on the first page here.
Of the blue report.
It's that shows the.
It's
June 1st through June 30th.
Okay, so it is 1 month.
First paragraph.
Okay, so then my comment or question actually is. Regarding the CMC in San Luis Obispo, are we in contact with the Department of Fish and Game on the problem of the chlorine violations, and do we have a dialogue going with them about how to proceed with this? I think it came up in the hearing, and I know we're pending review of staff recommendations being revised, but I recall that we also considered the idea that we need to work with Fish and Game on this.
Yeah, and if I remember right, the suggestion I made at the meeting is that since we can administratively amend the monitoring and reporting program, that is, I can issue changes to that without board action, that we would go ahead and add that reporting requirement as far as toxic releases due to high chlorine, where they would be required to notify Fish and Game.
Okay, and then could I request that this data be sent also to the program manager for the Marine Life Protection Act, and that would be Susan Ashcraft. I know that they have a water quality advisory process going on, and it's in its early stages, but again, this is an MPA, and if they are overwhelmed with statewide issues, but you know, if we give them an example of a situation that where agencies should be working together, putting their heads together in terms of regulations and authority. You know, if they don't respond, they don't respond. But I'd certainly like to make a more direct effort to get them informed.
What's the best way to do that, Mr. Briggs?
Well, if we're going to require them to do that, we do use the same mechanism, I would think, through the monitoring and reporting program. And it's basically just a different branch of fish and game, right?
Yeah.
It's for two notifications of fish and game.
Yeah, because I think I'm not totally clear, but I do know that the land-based fish and game programs are an entity, and the marine region is an entity, and they're not integrated. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue for the Fish and Game Commission and the Ocean Protection Council, which they are looking at. But right now, there's no communication, there's no working structure between them. So, you know, we're kind of stuck with dealing with folks who have coastal freshwater stream issues,
right,
and they're not talking to their marine counterparts. There's no mechanism for that, surprisingly enough.
Okay, I made a note here to that effect. I think we can add that without any trouble.
Mr. Shawcross.
Yeah, could you just briefly tell me what's going on at the Brookdale Lodge?
I can't. Maybe Harvey can.
Harvey?
Maybe Burton can.
Well, why don't you come on up?
Yeah. Michael Higgins of our staff.
Thank you, Roger. I'm the area engineer for Santa Cruz County, and we're in close contact with county enforcement, who are holding permits in abeyance, so to speak, to encourage the owner of Brookdale to proceed with complying with all county and regional board requirements. The regional board requirements are that the owner, Mr. Kakar, ensure that the denitrification wastewater plant that was in place when he took ownership is hooked up. And my last report was as of about probably 2 weeks ago, that at long last the contractor had erected the power pole and was proceeding to hook up the power. The leach field still has to be constructed and connected. So it looks like things are moving forward. The county's confident that you'll continue to move forward.
Very great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Any other questions on this item?
Thanks, Michael.
Okay.